Psalm number 79 this morning in verse number 13. Psalm 79 in verse number 13 in the Bible says, "So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forevermore. We will shew forth thy praise to all generations." I want to talk to you on this subject this morning. Thanks through service. Thanks through service. Father, we thank you for today. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you meet with us. Thank you for the beautiful weather we have today. Thank you for this, what this weekend represents to our country and to our people. Now, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to be thankful as we go through this month of November. Guide us and direct us. Help us to understand your truth when it comes to being grateful. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we begin the month of November, it's the month of Thanksgiving. And in many ways, we need to realize as Christians how grateful we need to be. I love that this month is a month in which we as Americans give thanks to those who served and gave their life in service to our country. As I said earlier in the service, I want to thank every man and woman who has given time in the military. I want to thank every family that's given their loved ones. I want to thank every family whose loved one has passed away in defense of our country. I'm grateful that we have men and women who are willing to stand directly in the path of danger, that we may be a free nation. People from all over the world want to leave the country they're in and come to the United States of America because of the freedom that we have. I don't think sometimes Americans realize the value of the freedom we have or what it's like not to be free. But I thank God for the freedom we do have. I thank God for those who gave their life and served our country. And so, as you see people this week, I want to encourage you to make sure you thank them for their service. You see someone in a uniform, stop them. I do this whether it's November or not. I stop every military man and woman I see, and I thank them for their service. If they're with their family, I thank their spouses and their children for giving their spouse and their parent that we could have the freedom. I think it's important to be thankful. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So the rest of this month, Sunday morning, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. And I talk about how grateful we ought to be. I don't think you could ever talk too much on being grateful because we're not a grateful people, generally speaking. It doesn't seem to be our second nature. It seems to be against our nature to tell people thank you. But we ought to be grateful for everything that happens to us and everything that comes our way. It was gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken down pier on the eastern sea coast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly and simply, and as he got older, stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to see this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. See, many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in his B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurtle Captain Eddie and most of his into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of a radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, and the men had to abandon their plane into the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their raft that they were in. But all of their enemies at sea, the one that seemed to be the most formidable was starvation. 8 days out, their rations had long run out or been destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. And a miracle did occur. As Captain Rickenbacker said, quote, "Something landed on my head, and I knew it was a seagull. And I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from underneath the brim of my hat, without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces that they were all staring and starving for that seagull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it." Unquote. So Captain Eddie Rickenbacker caught the gull. They consumed most of it, and the rest they used for bait to catch fish with. The survivors were sustained by their hopes being renewed because of this lone seagull landed on the captain's head. Uncharacteristically, by the way, hundreds of miles from land, it made itself a sacrifice that Captain Eddie never forgot. Because of this, every Friday evening, at about sunset, he would visit that pier to remember the seagull, which on that day long past had given itself without struggle so they could survive. This man was thankful for what the seagull had done for him. And so he showed his thanks to the end of his life. If a man is willing to commit the rest of his life to feeding seagulls because a seagull died for him, how much more should we commit our lives to Christ in gratefulness for what He did for us? For in Him, it was more than just a seagull dying to give a few men life. It was God who gave His only begotten Son that all of us who would trust Him, and anyone could trust Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anyone of any age, of any place in all the world would be willing to trust Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as their death, their burial, and their resurrection would have heaven free of charge. Yes. Because the payment had been made. And if Captain Eddie Rickenbacker could give his service in thanksgiving for Siegel, how much more should we? How much more should we commit our lives to serving Christ in gratefulness and thanksgiving for what He's done for us? So let me give you a few things. Number one, how much more should we serve Him out of gratefulness? How much more should we serve Him out of gratefulness? Out of thanksgiving, you and I should serve Jesus Christ just in thanks for what He's done for us. I know what I'm all about. I know I'm a sinner. There's no question. There's no question in my mind that I make more than mistakes. I commit sin. I know how weak I am. I know how easy it is for me to be led astray. I know how easy it is for the devil to get a hold of me and to tempt me and encourage me, as the devil will, to do sin, and how easily I'm led astray. I know how easy it would be for me just to go straight smack dab to hell without worrying about how to get there. I know my weaknesses. And I'm grateful that Jesus did what He did for me. So grateful that I want to give Him the rest of my life. So grateful I want to serve Him. So grateful I want to thank Him every day. So grateful that I don't know what else to do but say thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. And if it takes every ounce of energy I have to be grateful, if it takes every penny of money we have to be grateful, if it takes the rest of my life and my health to stay grateful to my Savior, I'd rather have Him have all of that. Because I know that I would go to hell without Him. I know how much I enjoy sin. I know how much man enjoys sin. I know how easy it is to commit that sin. It doesn't matter how big the sin is or how small the sin is. All sin has the same exact price. For the wages of sin is death. Because that wage is right there. It doesn't matter if it's a little bitty lie or a great big whopper. It doesn't matter if it's one drunken day or one drunken stupor or a life of drunkenness. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter if I swear all the time or just use the Lord's name in vain when I get angry. Sin is sin. Because I'm grateful for what He's done for me, I want others to know what Christ has done and will do for them if they would trust Him. So that means that if I have to change my life to live right so that other people will listen to what I have to say, I'll willingly change my life to do right so that other people can do right. So other folks can receive Christ as Savior. If it means I have to curb the way I speak, then I'll curb the way I speak. I won't speak like everybody else speaks. I won't use the Lord's name in vain. I won't use foul language. I'll do whatever it takes. If it means I never touch another drop of liquor the rest of my life, which is not a problem in the way that everybody ought to live, but if it means I'll never drink another drop of liquor the rest of my life so that other people can hear the gospel message and believe, then I'll not touch another drop of liquor the rest of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying that out of gratefulness. We ought to be serving Him because we're grateful for what He's done. I'm grateful that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm grateful that Jesus freely came here. I'm grateful that He died upon the cross to pay for my sin. I'm grateful that He was beaten so badly with a cat of nine tails you couldn't even tell He was a man anymore. I'm grateful that He bled like He bled, and the shedding of the blood leads to remissions of my sins. I'm grateful that He was buried in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and then rose from the dead, breaking the bonds of sin and death, so that I and you could go to heaven. I'm grateful for that. And if it means I serve my life for Him, I'd really give Him my gratefulness and service. After all, He saved us not just from earthly death, but from eternal death. It doesn't take a great motivation to serve then because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. It's really quite easy if we'll stop and think about it. Number two, how much more should we be dedicated to Him? Not only should we serve Him, but we should be dedicated to Him out of gratefulness for what He's done for us. We should be dedicated to Him out of gratefulness for what He's done for us. Dedicated. Loyal. Faithful. True. That's what dedicated means. Loyal. Faithful. True to. I'm loyal to my wife. You want to fight? Listen, you can attack me all day long, but you attack this church, or you attack my wife, or you attack my kids, and buddy, we're ready for war. Amen. Amen. You're not going to attack my wife. You don't like something about my wife? That's too bad. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're her child, my child. I don't care if you're my brother, you're my sister, if you're you're my mom, or you're my dad. You attack my wife, you attack me, and we're going to war. Amen. Amen. Dedicated. Loyal to the end. That's what marriage is about, by the way. Amen. By the way, that's what service to Christ is about. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. You're not going to attack my Savior. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to stand up for Him. Amen. I don't care if everybody gets mad at me. I'm going to stand up for Him. I don't care if everybody says, well, I'm never going to come to church again, then don't come to church, but I'm going to stand up for my Savior. I'm going to stand up for His Word. I'm going to stand up for the truth of His Word. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to go away. I'm going to continue to preach and continue to preach and continue to preach. If no one ever listens again, I'm going to continue to be dedicated to my great Savior, no matter what. If everybody leaves, never comes back to church. If everybody says, well, soul winning is foolish, I'm going to continue to soul win. If everybody says the Word of God doesn't contain truth, I don't know. It does contain truth and stand for it. People get mad. People get upset. It's amazing how we'll continue to support something that's always a losing factor. But that which we know is a winner, the Word of God, we don't stand for. We're not dedicated to it. And out of thanksgiving for what Christ has done for me and how He's changed my life, I'm going to be dedicated, loyal, faithful, true to Him, no matter what. That's what thanksgiving is about. When I think about my condition, I think about where I should go. I think about how the Word of God just tells the truth about people. It calls us what we are. It illustrates what we are. Listen, if God could love a lion, adulterous murderer like David, I guess he could love you and me. If he could use a murdering, adulterous man like David, I guess he could use you and me. I guess if he could use a man like Moses, turncoat, scaredy cat, runaway murdering man. You know, first he has a wonderful life, and God delivers him into the home of Pharaoh, and he gets all of his education, gets all of his life. For 40 years, he's a child as if born to the home of Pharaoh, even though he's not born into that home, cared for just as if he is Pharaoh's son. He sees what's going on with the Israelites. It makes him mad, and he kills an Egyptian for beating an Israelite. Murderer. He finds out that everybody found out, and he runs for his life. Scaredy cat. Turncoat. Instead of standing and fighting for what he believed to be true, he ran away. I don't know that would be any different. I'd run away too. I don't want to go to prison. He didn't want to go to prison. He ran away. And 40 years later, God uses him to deliver the nation of Israel. The Ten Commandments that we hear so much about. He delivered to his hand. Moses is the only man that we know of scripturally that saw God face to face. And it changed his exterior look, that when he came down, people couldn't look at him because he shone so brightly. Don't know exactly what that means, but they couldn't look at him because the glory of God must have gotten on him just to be in the glory of God's presence. We should be dedicated, loyal, faithful, and true. Because if God would use a man like Moses, he'd use you and me. You can go all through the Bible and find sinner after sinner after sinner. Because that's all we have here. That God loves and uses. And that means He'll use you and me too. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't even have to be a high school graduate. I'm not against those things. I'm for those things. But you don't have to have those to be used by God. You don't have to have those things to be loved by God. You don't have to have those things to be dedicated to Him. Or to be grateful to Him. But as we look at this month of Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for what God has done for you and for me. And out of that gratefulness, I'm going to serve Him in dedication. Doesn't mean I won't make mistakes, as I even made mistakes in song leading this morning. It won't mean that you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean I'm not going to turn around and fall on my face sometime. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be tempted and fall in sin. And that doesn't mean that days are going to go by where I forget to read my Bible or don't read my Bible because I don't want to read it. It means that I'm going to continually go back to Him and go back to Him and go back to Him and stick with Him and stick with Him and stick with Him and stick with Him and be dedicated to Him who dedicated Himself for me. Number three. How much more then, because He's done so much for us, should we live for Him? Live for Him. Out of gratefulness, I'm going to live for Him. Out of gratefulness, I'm going to live for Him. Live. That means morning, noon, and night. That means when I go lay down to go to sleep, and that means when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to live my life for His glory and for His honor. That means I need to read His Word every day so that I can learn what He wants from me. That means I'm going to pray every day to tell Him what's on my heart about what's going on in my life so that as I read His Word, He'll guide me to those important things I need to know. That means I'm going to hide His Word in my heart so that I can overcome sin in my life so that I can live closer and closer and closer to Him. When I met my wife, after a while of meeting each other, getting to know each other, we decided that we'd get married. I proposed to my wife, and she accepted, then she rejected, then she asked me to marry her, and I accepted. All over a wedding dress. But, anyway, I decided, and she decided, to marry each other. We walked down the aisle of the church, met the preacher up front, invited our family and friends, and we exchanged our vows. Put rings on each other's fingers, one through each of our nose, and we decided to live for each other. That means through good times and in bad. That means in joy and in sorrows. That means in sickness and in health. That means whether I'm angry with her or she's angry with me. That means to live day by day by day by day. Now, we've been married over 33 years. We've known each other for 35 years. I believe with God's help and our loyalty to each other, our dedication to each other, our love for each other, our gratefulness to each other, we'll end our lives married to each other. Now, we live for each other. That's how you live together. You live for each other. You take care of each other. You do live through those hard times. Listen, can I tell you what? Times get hard. Sooner or later, they're going to get okay. Just stay with it. It seems like the okay days aren't as long as the hard days, but that's okay. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. I love just sitting, being alone with my wife. I love holding her hand. I love walking down the street together. Oftentimes, I'll text her through the day. I just miss you today while I'm at work. I just miss you. And I do. That's what it means to live for the Lord. That means no matter what goes on in your life, the good times and in the bad, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, no matter what's going on in your life, you stay living for the Lord. Sometimes you might be mad at Him. Sometimes He may be mad at you, but you keep living for the Lord. Sometimes it may feel like heaven's nothing but a sounding brass and you can't get your prayers answered, or at least it seems that way. Stay faithful to Him. Still continue to listen to Him. Sometimes it feels like, where did He go? I know He's around here somewhere. And then there's other days where His glory just is so strong throughout your day, you don't even know what to do. There's times when I get along in my prayer life, I don't want to leave my prayer life. I don't want to leave that prayer time. It's so wonderful and so enjoyable. And I know I got things to do. And I don't want to get away from it. And then all day long inside, I pine to spend time alone with my Savior again. That's what it means. That's what it means to live for Him. That's what it means to live for Him. Ladies and gentlemen, out of gratefulness, we need to learn to live for our Lord. Out of gratefulness, we need to learn to live for our Lord. Are you serving Christ with your life? Are you grateful for what He's done for you? Are you thankful through your service? How can I serve Him? Are you serving Christ? There are several ways you can serve Him. You can serve Him in any kind of ministry in the local church. You can pass out gospel tracts. Yes, you can pray for each other. You can be faithful to services. Can I tell you, every time somebody misses a service, you know, first thing everybody does, I wonder what happened to them. Are they okay? Did they leave the church? And people say that all the time. Is everything all right? I've been in the ministry for these 35 years, and every time somebody misses church service, it doesn't matter. That's always what we say. Even if they're a faithful person to church and they seem like they never miss, then all of a sudden they miss, or maybe they're gone or something. Our first thought is, are they okay? Or did they leave the church? What we need to do is encourage each other. We can witness in our community. We can use our talents and the gifts that God has given to you and I to benefit those in our church. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, there are many ways to serve the Lord. You can serve Him through the local church. You can serve Him by prayer. You can serve Him by being faithful. You can serve Him by loving others. There's an awful lot of people that are unlovable. But you know what we can do? We can love them anyway. We just need to love other people. Continue to love other people. So let me ask you today, are you serving Christ out of gratefulness? Are you showing your thanks to Him today? Are you showing Him your thankfulness by your service, by your dedication, for the way you live? Are you serving gratefully for what He's done for you? Father, I thank You for what we've learned today.